Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Ted Johnson, we made it. It's 3 o'clock, and you're here.
Here we are. Boys, good to be with you. Thank you for making me feel so welcome, like you have all this past week. And I'm thrilled to be here. This feels, in our little sphere of media, kind of a big deal. This is a lot of fun. The support I've gotten has been great. All the feedback I get from people that know you guys, Andy, you and Uh-oh. I go, we, you and I go way mm-hmm. way back.
Yep.
Fitzy, you and I are still getting to know each other, but it's all been positive and good vibes, and so I'm thrilled to be here. I love the afternoons. I've always been comfortable here. This is what I did for a long time. Worked the afternoons there in Houston. Covering the Texans for about 5 years in the afternoon. And so this is where I'm most comfortable. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be with you guys. Thank you for making me feel so welcome. And here we go. Let's do this thing.
As far as Houston.
Hey.
There we go. So as far as Houston goes, better barbecue, just as bad as traffic. Just about.
The traffic is all time down there. But you know what? They've gotten better. So the thing about that makes Houston different. That's why I think it's almost worse here, because you don't have as many options to get to places. In Houston, you have four options to get to one place, and so you can with GPS on your phones, you can kind of know which route to take where there's the less traffic. But you're right; it's historically one of the worst places for traffic, and they have literally highways that are 6-7 lanes wide there. And the traffic still is a mess.
So Ted, as everyone knows, but I want to set the table properly. I don't just want to assume. He played at Colorado, as we talked about when we sat here with Christian Arcand last week. He was drafted by the Patriots in 1995. We've mentioned some of the great draft classes that he was a part of in that short span there. Guys like Curtis Martin, Hall of Famers, Ty Laws that were coming through.
How about that?
That was a whale of a class.
I mean, that's a class that I saw NFL.com one time put out its best, classes of all time. And I think the Bucs had maybe the number one. Derek Brooks Warren Sapp, I think maybe were the same class. But, I was part of a class in which two of the draftees in my class were NFL Hall of Famers, right?
Now,
Ty Law and Curtis Martin.
Not look red jacket, this, but right? Gold jacket.
Right? Ty Law, 23rd, Ted Johnson, 57, Curtis Martin, 74. If the Patriots have anything resembling this kind of draft again, fire up the duck boats.
If they had anything resembling that over a decade, we'd be happy. That's how bad they've been.
Oh, Dominique Easley does not.
We've
that.
Lived off of two guys, Drake May and Christian Gonzalez, for the last extended drafts here in the Belichick era. So then, Ted, you played for 10 years.
10 years.
You were part of Parcells, Carroll, Belichick, the transition, a Super Bowl team at the front end, a dynasty on the back end, and then you got into sports talk radio in Houston.
I did.
And then you've been back here for a while now.
About 6 years now.
People have seen you, not on an everyday basis, but I know you do stuff, Phil Perry, on NBC
guy.
Sports Boston.
Yep,
he's the best.
I hear there's other radio stations you may have dabbled in,
a little bit.
Airwaves,
yeah, a little
things
bit.
Like that.
This is the hub of good sports talk.
Now you made it to the real radio station. And we're going to do some things. We're not going to have a big, like, oh, it's the first show, so we're going to do crazy stuff. We're going to, like, let that stuff kind of organically fill out over the weeks. We may do something called TED Talks, where short segments, we get to know Ted Johnson.
Okay, I like that.
Because a lot of us, so Fitzy's got a little weird story about his grandmother. We'll get to that at some point.
Okay, I heard that.
It was a nice story. How did it get weird?
I don't know. I haven't heard the whole story yet. We'll see where it goes. It's got your grandmother and Ted. So.
I love grandma, so I'm sure it's a very sweet tone.
Before we ever met or conversed, you were a hero in the Stevens household growing
up. Love that. Okay, good. I can't wait to hear the story.
And you're also, I think the beauty of this is an expert witness in, yes, we will be a football show at times. I've already seen that as a football show. Football's the biggest sport on the planet. It's the biggest sport in the city. The Patriots rule. Sorry, the Red Sox days are over, and they don't even try to get them back by spending money.
It's crazy.
It is what it is.
Good thing we don't broadcast their games.
Maybe they should spend some money if they want me to get excited about their season. Did you see the Dodgers just signed somebody else, I'm sure, 5 minutes ago? Because they keep racking
back-to-back days, relievers that throw 100 miles an hour, 4 years, $72 million. Must be nice.
Must be nice. But, Ted, we will be a football show at times because football is the needle mover in this town and in most towns.
Hey, the data would suggest and support that.
And you are a Patriots linebacker who was a Pro Bowl caliber player, who was a leader on the team.
Well, thank you.
And in an era when the last two head coaches also basically had the same resume. They played for the team. They were Pro Bowl caliber players. They were leaders, one of which was turned into the head coach, Gerard Mayo, and he lasted 350-something days.
Not very long, but
what a run.
Not very long.
That cheddar he got.
He made it nice.
It was a difficult year for him, but Gerard's going to be okay. He's going to lay it on his feet, I think.
And now you have Mike Vrabel, who's been there, done that, took a different path, started at Ohio State, there in the news. He worked his way up, was in Houston, crossed paths there, Billy O.
Yep, covered him in Houston.
Went on his own to Tennessee, head coach, that whole thing. So the first thing I just want to ask you is, because we're going to delve into here what's going on with the Patriots, the staff, you know, who he's bringing in. What would you have been prepared to be a head coach straight out the league? Just maybe a position coach for a couple of years, hypothetically, like Gerard Mayo. Would you have been prepared? Or do you think to succeed in that role, you need to take the longer, more traditional path that Mike Vrabel took and has now brought him here back to New England?
It's definitely the latter, Andy. You gotta learn the game from a coach's perspective. I mean, you know, playing in the NFL doesn't make you an expert at the sport, right? I mean, I play linebacker in the NFL. It makes me an expert at middle linebacker. That doesn't mean I know pass protection and I know how to coach receivers on exact routes and or special teams or know the dynamics that it takes to work with a coaching staff or exactly what system do I want to run on offense or defense. There's so much involved that goes into head coaching, and so more than and that was the thing. I'll be honest. We talked about maybe just, for at least this first show, reflecting back on the past season a little bit, and that's what we're doing. But it did shock me to some degree that Gerard, in my opinion, didn't seem prepared for the job. That it felt like he was overwhelmed or things caught him off guard. He wasn't expecting maybe some of the pushback or some of the questioning or maybe some of the things he had to deal with behind the scenes. He just seemed unprepared, which surprised me, I'll be honest. But to me, yes, to do that job efficiently and at your best, I think you got to have a good amount of experience doing different things, not just coaching one position like Gerard did. You know, you got to coach defense. You got to coach offensive line. I've always said this about the head coach. The two things that to me that make up a great head coach is you are a expert motivator and you are the smartest guy in the room. I think the head coach has to be the smartest guy in the room when it comes from a football standpoint. I think you got to know all the positions, how to teach them all. You've coached them all. You have an acumen for the game that is superior to any coach on the staff. And I'm not so sure that Gerard had that. I thought he was going to be had the motivating part, but kind of after the season's played out, you kind of realize it's like, I think he's just, he makes a really good first impression, and I think he's a likable guy. That doesn't mean he can connect with his players and get the best out of them. And that was, I think, maybe something a lot of people that knew Gerard before he got the job, expected from him, and I didn't see that.
So you were in a room, speaking of the smartest man in the room, 617-779-7937. We're going to transition here in the show. We're talking about the staff and everything, but I did want to get a sort of just sort of early impressions of what you think of Mike Vrabel, because you played with him, and so you were in the room. Roman Pfeiffer was in the room. Teddy Bruschi was in the room. Mike Vrabel was in the room.
Willie McGinest.
Was Mike Vrabel the smartest man in that room?
Oh, without a question. He kills. It's going to kill me to have to say all this, because just I've given Vrabel so much love over the years, and when he came to Houston, and I told my buddy John McClain, the general down there in Houston, who's worked for the Houston Chronicle for years, I said, Mike's going to be a head coach. That's when you played with him. You could football. The concepts, the game planning, the execution, and then on the field, Mike was just a step above everybody else. He just saw the game in a different way. Clearly, the smartest guy, and he won us over because of how smart he was and how prepared he was. And so I knew from the very beginning that he was destined for a head coach. And if you look at his history, his dad was a high school coach at a very prestigious school in Ohio. Mm-hmm. So he's grown, kind of like Belichick. I mean, right. His dad had him watching film at Navy when he was 10 years old. So if you grow up in that environment, your football knowledge is on a different level than the rest of us who didn't grow up in that environment.
But as far as Gerard Mayo, though, they used to call him Gerard Belichick and tease him because they thought he was head coach material, or at least was acted like he was a head coach. And I think a lot of people weren't surprised that he was going to be named a coach or would coach one day. But
nobody was surprised.
No one was surprised, and it probably wasn't even just because of the 5-year plan and the trip to Jerusalem. But do you think that Gerard Mayo's trappings, like his failures last year, were more to do with his own lack of preparation or the fact that he really wasn't surrounded by anybody that knew what they were doing? First year, everything around him, from AVP to the defensive coordinator, everybody, Elliot Wolf, everyone was learning on the fly. So who ultimately was going to take the sword but the coach?
Yeah. Look, I put more of the onus on Gerard than most. A lot of people will have that defensive drive that he was put in a bad situation, that maybe he got the job 1 year too early because Belichick was not expected to be let go when he was. I don't find that any of that as really credible excuses or a reason to excuse the performance from the coach this year. I thought, and you mentioned it in your previous segment there, Andy, kind of talking about I was shocked that Gerard Mayo, the number one job, if I was going to be a head coach, you know what I would obsess over day and night? Who am I going to hire as my coaches? Right. That would be the first thing I would think of. That's all I would care about, because putting together a coaching staff to me is job number one for a coach. And it didn't seem like he was prepared for that at all. When I've three different head coaches in my tenure. You've already mentioned all the names. I've been there when Pete Carroll was kind of at the end, and I saw all the assistant coaches at the end of his final year, 1999. They're on the phone calling guys with a month left in the season. They're calling their buddies on other teams trying to maybe get themselves on
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Networking that goes on, the friendships and relationships behind the scenes with all these coaches around the league is a real thing. And you do that because, you know, networking, you know, obviously you want to get a feel for all these different styles of coaches that you work with or you might want to work with. And so that when you are named the head guy, you know exactly what you know, what type of offense you want to run, and then who's the best coach to coach that offense. Same thing on the defensive side. Same thing with your position. And Gerard, you're basically putting your trust in Elliot Wolf, who's a first time, whatever, player personnel guy, to do all the hiring for your coaches. So I mean, he basically let Elliot Wolf hire his entire coaching staff, yep. Which to me, I would never want. If I'm going down, I'm going down with my guys. Mm-hmm. And Gerard he wasn't prepared for that. And that was a real surprise to me. And that was the first signal that this isn't a good start to his tenure.
And it's funny that you said maybe you hold him to a bit more responsibility or standard. And I think that's fair, quite honestly, because there's good teams, there's bad teams, there's talent. Like, that's the job of being a coach, is finding a way. And if we're going to be consistent, I always say with players, like Kyle Duggar had a terrible year, and everybody's like, oh, well, he had an ankle and he had a this. I always say, if you're on the field, I got to expect you to do the job.
That's the pro game. The pro game, man.
No excuses.
Because if you're hurt, they won't put you out there.
You know how many times I wish people didn't judge me based on if I went and say I was injured.
Right.
Eesh. So it I'm is with what you. It is. So continue your point. But I get what you're saying.
And Gerard, it's the same thing. And even more so, to get to your coaching staff point, you just as Ted Johnson probably have guys in your head. Like, if I forced you to coach a football team right now, you probably have 2, 3, 4 guys you've played with, worked with, seen, that you would at least call. They might tell you to go screw.
Sure.
But, yeah. Guys,
that I would want to have as coaches, right, to do this system I want.
Gerard Mayo was a coach in waiting. He knew he was going to be a coach, whether it was 1 year or two. He knew it was coming. There was a train coming, and it was heading towards him, and he needs a staff around him. And yet it seemed like he didn't do a lot of the legwork, the grunt work, to, even if it was late, start it. Go to the Senior Bowl. Talk to everybody at the Senior Bowl. Go to more workouts. And when you're at workouts during the spring, notice who's there from other teams, how they interact with play. Like, right? Just start. I'm not saying he's been in the league 40 years. You're never going to have the same Rolodex as Bill Belichick or Bill Parcells or one of those guys. But you knew you were going to be a head coach. How did it seem to sneak up on you when it was in your contract and you knew it was coming? That's my issue.
And that's a big key fact that I think needs to be brought into context, and I'm glad you did, because that, to me, that makes it even more reason for just no excuse for being unprepared, because he looked unprepared from the beginning. I mean, look, they went out there and they beat the Bengals week one, but I've been telling everybody this. Look, they won 4 games. Every game, every win is not created equal. If he won, let's just say he started off the season 0-11.
Okay.
But he won the 4 out of the last 6.
Oh, totally different.
Would it be different?
He'd still be here.
He might still be
1993
here.
1993 Parcells.
He'd still be here.
Yeah.
There you go. Like, it
matters.
It matters. Like, can we see some improvement? Can we see some trending positive? And you never saw that. And so that's a big reason I think he's not here anymore.
Okay, so he is here. He's Ted Johnson. He's the new co-host of WEEI Afternoons with Fitzy, with Hart, We are in our debut show. He just talked about putting your trust in a guy that's never done the job before. I got bad news for you, Ted. I've never done this job before.
You're doing all right so far,
brother. Been a full-time host. Everybody's bitching. What's this guy on heroin? What's he on crack?
No, wait. What
kind of... Can I not just bring energy?
What kind of heroin do people do for that? By the way...
I actually have no idea what heroin does to you. I can proudly say I don't know what heroin does to you.
Heroin, Frank.
Unfortunately, I can tell you in the break.
Thank God we don't have the off-air show sponsored just yet. By the way,
glad you got your happy shirt on.
Thank you very much, everyone who is texting at the same number. You can call in 617-779-7937. Ted, a texter in the 617, got an OG Boston area code. This is akin to my story that I'd like to share later. Teddy signed a football for me when I was 14. I still have it. Sadly, over time, the autograph has worn down, and now my kids have messed it up. How can a P1 get a replacement? I'll even allow a Fitzy and Hart autograph on it as well.
Oh, well, you don't want that. You just want Ted. And I can't speak for Ted whether he'll
That's
autograph
not true. It. We're a team now. So it's, like it's a team football.
Right. Vrabel used to, when he was the coach of the Titans, even if they asked for a Patriots autograph, he would write, "Tighten up, Mike Vrabel."
Well, like till the end. And then he was like, we got a game to win, and I love this place, and I don't want to leave. I want to stay here full time. And his owner said, "You can soon."
I'll quickly tell that texter, if you want to send it to the studio, anything you want signed, I'm happy to sign it. Just send it to the studio. I'm not going to give out my home address or my personal email. That would be a little bit much. But you want to send it to the station, by all means do. And I'll make sure I sign it and send it back.
Perfect. Because Stiz is from Chelsea, and he's totally trustworthy. So.
Hey, we've already bonded over Chelsea, Melrose. Yep. We've got an interesting connection that I'll keep private right now. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we've already hit it off back there with our towns where we're from. Yeah.
So we're not going to get into an official TED Talk right here, which is going to be a portion of the show where we learn the personal side of Ted Johnson, various points and shows and weeks and months all over the years. But I have a question for you. So I know there's going to be a million of those. Oh, you signed my ball once. You helped my grandmother across the street. Any chance we get any darker stories? We got any dark stories? Did you beat any little kids up anywhere that asked for an autograph?
Nothing dark like that.
I want to know what I'm dealing
with. Maybe he traded a towel for a Coke. Coca-Cola.
Okay, I see what you did there.
There was about a 15-year period after I retired that some of it I remember, some of it I don't.
Okay.
You know, I was in and out. I was making bad decisions, and I, you know, was off the grid for a long time. And so, unfortunately, there probably are some stories out there. I was roaming the streets at night, and you know, I was lost. But now I have been found, and I'm doing good, and I'm healthy. And so those days are behind me. So yeah, I'm sure there's some stories out there, but we don't need to. We all have
skeletons in our closet.
As long as we figured it out and we're on the right track, which is I've finally figured things out, so I'm doing better now. But yes, I'm sure there's some stories back in the day.
And we've all done bad things, but not all of us have 3 Super Bowl rings. I mean, he does, and I have 3 employee rings. Fitzy, how about you?
I rode in a duck boat parade.
Okay, so you got that going.
Hey, I went 5 for 5 on all the beers they threw at me, so that's got to count for something.
That's impressive.
Better than any current Patriots wide receiver, as a matter of fact.
That's on brand, and it's also the last time I drank a Dr. McGillicuddy's, because that is the devil's tears.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football is hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game, and that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.